Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In today's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite, I had the pleasure of meeting and speaking with Robin Fiorelli, Senior Director of Bereavement and Volunteers at VITAS Healthcare. Robin and I talked about the grief that has affected millions of Americans and millions more throughout the world due to losing loved ones to COVID-19. We also discussed the implications of grief, strategies for coping, and efforts underway to help the healthcare industry and consumers train and prepare for a suspected wave of grief that's to come.
All right. Hello, Robin. How are you today?
I'm good, Brianna. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today for an episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast.
You bet. You bet. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, thank you. So to start off, I just wanted to ask, I'm curious, and obviously for our listeners, what is it that you do and what is the mission of VITAS Healthcare?
Sure. So I'm the Senior Director of Bereavement and Volunteer Services for VITAS. So I support our 50 Bereavement and Volunteer Services or programs nationwide. I also provide support to our psychosocial and spiritual clinical operations as well. And just a little bit about VITAS. VITAS Healthcare is the nation's leading provider of hospice and palliative care. We've been providing hospice care for over 40 years. We're headquartered in Miami, Florida, and we have approximately 50 programs throughout 18 states. So we offer our hospice services wherever the patient resides, whether that's in their home, assisted living, long-term care facility, et cetera. And essentially, we help ensure that a patient and their family receive sort of the full range of end-of-life service, right, and care, including medical, psychosocial, spiritual, and bereavement for a year after the deaths. So I think okay. That's why you've asked me to join you today to talk a little bit about bereavement.
So, yeah. And I apologize on my mispronunciation of VITAS, so thank you, sorry.
No worries.
So obviously a big, like you said, a bereavement is something we're going to be discussing today, but obviously COVID, you know,
yes,
it branches off from that. So we're going to be talking about that and yes. Grief. So yes. Now it was mentioned to me before. So 500,000 Americans have fallen to COVID-19 and the nation is continuing to grieve for obvious and unfortunate reasons. So can you explain how those affected are grieving and maybe
sure.
How a supposed wave of grief is coming to a major concern?
Sure. It's a very good question, Brianna. So about 2 weeks ago, actually, the CDC reported that for every COVID loss, there's an average of 9 individuals that are mourning that person's death, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if that puts the numbers of Americans grieving a COVID loss, you know, at 4,500,000. So that's a significant number of mourners, you know, grieving across our communities all at the same time. And there's unique aspects to this pandemic that have led to challenges in general in mourning and grief practices, right? As President Biden referred to last year, last week rather, I should say, on the day where we reached 500,000 deaths, he referred to many of the challenges in that speech. And they include things like, you know, the inability to say goodbye to dying loved ones, right? And what impact that has on the mourning process. The inability to have closure via in-person rituals such as funerals, memorial services, homegoings, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, just the general restriction on in-person opportunities for social support and for faith support that mourners typically need when they've had a significant loss. You know, we believe that grief is a very normal process, right? And that, you know, we humans all go through the mourning process when we lose a significant loved one. But sometimes grief can become more complicated in cases where, for instance, there's concurrent stressful life events, right? And so we're seeing that even with people who have not had a COVID-specific loss, but who have just lost a loved one in general, that given the fact that they might have also lost employment or they're ill themselves, maybe they're unable to access their typical support network, right? That they these are the themes that we're seeing that, you know, lead, you know, any mourner to sort of struggle with receiving the normal grief support and going through a normal grief process that they usually are able to. So, yeah, that's essentially what we're seeing out there.
Okay. Right? Uh-huh. Now, and this is being called a wave now.
Yes.
Why? I mean, why a wave?
I think a wave because of the CDC study that showed that there were, you know, nine for every COVID loss, there's nine. And that's probably a low estimate that there's nine individuals that are somewhat impacted by that loss, right? If you add up all family members, friends, coworkers, et cetera, that loved or was close to that person that died. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's 4.5 million and climbing. Right. And also there's specific sort of, you know, how shall I say this? There's specific issues related to COVID loss. For instance, the fact that, you know, the person that lost a loved one to COVID doesn't know who to be angry at. How can you be angry at a virus, at a microscopic thing that you can't even see?
Right.
So there's nobody to be angry at. So sometimes we see that the anger fluctuates or, you know, attacks moving targets because you don't know who to be angry at. Right. Mm-hmm. Also, within our COVID support group, sometimes we see that there's this sense of being robbed, you know, now they're coming out with the vaccine. We missed that opportunity with our loved one that might have been saved if they had had a vaccine.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So there's that regret and that anger, that almost jealousy that, of course, is very normal. Mm-hmm. Also, the being bombarded by images and, you know, conversations about COVID-19 in the media just sort of re-stimulates that loss over and over and over again for somebody that's had a COVID loss. So these are some of the reasons why a loved one from COVID-19 can be particularly challenging.
Right. And I was actually going to ask this a little bit later in the conversation, but obviously you can't, there's no time limit on grief.
Yes.
And I was going to ask, you know, when do you possibly think this, you know, this so-called wave will end, or will it end?
Right.
Once maybe numbers come back down, or as they're climbing down, you know, in some states in the US. But really, I mean, this is going to be a conversation for years.
It is.
In a way, yeah. Is this wave, or, you know, focusing on COVID, is it ever going to go away, I guess?
Right. Well, you ask a really good question. And what we've seen, I will tell you that hospices are uniquely positioned, I think, to provide community-based bereavement and to provide sort of that long-term grief response after a major public tragedy, natural disaster, pandemic, what have you. So as an example, at VITAS, for instance, we're still providing bereavement support in the community where the Parkland school shooting was in Florida.
Okay.
This is 2 years. We just crossed the 2-year anniversary of that shooting. Mm-hmm. And we're still providing ongoing grief support in that community. We did for Sandy Hill as well in Connecticut after that school shooting, mm-hmm. and also at the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida. So because hospice is well positioned, in VITAS in particular, because our mission has always been about providing community-based bereavement support. We have experience going into disadvantaged communities and figuring out what that community needs in terms of bereavement support. As an example, in several of our communities along the border, or in communities where we have a large Latinx community, we do Day of the Dead ceremonies, because we understood that that's the way for Mexican Americans, that it was important for them to commemorate their loss. And we learned that and provided that opportunity. So that's just an example. The National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization really mandates advocates that hospices, across the nation provide free community-based bereavement support. And so we're actually part of a task force through NHPCO right now. I know this was one of your questions, to sort of shore up the long-term grief strategy here, mm-hmm. right? Figuring out how we can leverage providing bereavement services at the community level. How can we train mental health and health professionals to provide bereavement support for their own clients, right? Mm-hmm. So those are and also we're looking at potentially doing a public media campaign to educate the public about grief and about what's normal. Because one thing, Brianna, that we've really found is that through our over 40 years of providing bereavement support, that caregivers, a lot of time, bereaved just need to be validated that what they're going through is normal. Right. And they need to understand, what is more complicated grief and what signs and symptoms might I watch out for that may indicate that I need more support than I'm getting through my social network, that I'm getting through my faith institution. Right, that I'm getting through a support group. So that's the kind of teaching that we do, and just validating the fact that they're not going crazy, they're actually grieving, and grief is normal, right?
Right.
Goes a long, long way.
Of course.
To helping, I think, heal. I think in healing. So.
Mm-hmm. So this kind of piggybacks off of what you mentioned, kind of what you guys do at VITAS.
Yes.
To support those going through this. So if there's anything else that you want to share, at least for other consumers, maybe what they can adopt.
You bet.
Some efforts for consumers or anyone in the healthcare industry to address.
Yes.
I guess this particular wave, bigger wave that is coming.
Right. Yeah. Well, one thing I do want to let everyone know is because we're nationwide, and because we are so large, we had over 400 in-person bereavement support groups in our communities that we had to quickly transition into remote support opportunities.
Right.
So we have over 50 bereavement support groups. I think 3 or 4 of them are COVID-specific loss. Otherwise, they're all sorts of topics. And we have Spanish-speaking groups, et cetera, 7 days a week, different hours of the day are open to anybody in the general public and are free. So I want to direct people to vitas.com/grief. where they'll see a listing of all of those support groups. Additionally, what we did and what other hospices have done are create sort of national grief memorial events, mm-hmm. right? So because I mentioned that so many mourners have been unable to commemorate or finalize or have a final ritual like a memorial or homegoing to commemorate their loved one. And so we've offered those opportunities through Zoom, and we tend to do them around the grief holidays like Mother's Day, Father's Day, because those are typically very difficult days for mourners.
Right.
And then we also have a very robust Facebook bereavement support group page that is open to anybody in the community. So, I hope that answered your
question. Oh, yeah, yes, it did.
Okay,
wonderful. And then to kind of, this may be a bit repetitive, but when you were mentioning like staff members or, other organizations kind of, again, adopting this some of these tools or services.
Yes.
I guess for those who don't necessarily have much focus
right
on this particular topic, how can, do you have like any suggestions on how to train people who want to adopt?
That's a great question. Part of our task force through the NHPCO is actually to create a training initiative for health and mental health practitioners, particularly around sort of traumatic loss and also just providing long-term loss support, not only to your clients, but also to your staff, as you mentioned. We provide a lot of different staff support opportunities because what we find is, you know, given the nature of doing frontline healthcare work, whether it's in the COVID, you know, pandemic or anywhere, you know, where there's ill and vulnerable persons, staff members need an opportunity to sort of shore up their resiliency, right? Okay. To sort of restore their ability so that they don't develop what we call compassion fatigue. Yeah. So what we do is we do various staff memorials. We also, you know, just have lots of different ways where we do training on compassion fatigue and how to mitigate compassion fatigue. And those training opportunities we offer to healthcare entities. So if you're in a community where there's a VITAS program, we have the bereavement services manager would be happy to set up some training with your organization to help you create that sort of memorialization and sort of, you know, staff resiliency and really it's grief support, right? Mm-hmm. Or mitigating compassion fatigue, we should say. So we're able to absolutely help with organizations to set that up.
Wonderful. So this is, that's more geared obviously towards not only helping, you know, the staff, but also showing the staff how to work with patients in a better way.
Right, exactly. Because if you're able to, you know, to sort of take care of yourself and do good self-care, you're able to turn around and take really good care of your patients and families.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually, I think we covered all the topics and questions I wanted to, but if there's anything that you feel that I did not cover that you'd like to share with our listeners on this topic.
I think maybe the takeaway is just that, yes, you know, 4,500,000 and growing is an enormous number, right? Is an enormous number. And I'd like to remind, you know, and I think we need to remind ourselves that grief is a normal reaction to losing a loved one. And that, you know, for the majority of mourners, given, you know, good social support, faith and, you know, faith support, given, you know, just being naturally resilient or utilizing coping strategies that have always worked during crises, that for the majority of those individuals, they're going to be okay. I do want to point out that, you know, as I hope I've been able to share, that there are some specific sort of challenges related to a COVID loss, right? The sudden nature of the loss and the fact that the death wasn't expected, right? The fact that it's hard to know who to be angry at.
Right.
The fact that they're inundated by, you know, the media related to, you know, COVID, and so reminded of their loss on an ongoing basis. And the fact that our normal ways of receiving support, commemorating the loss, have been, we've been separated from because of social restrictions. So all of those reasons, we need to just, you know, and I want to say that, you know, unfortunately, COVID has affected disadvantaged communities in greater proportion. Mm-hmm. And so, and these may be communities that, you know, had less resources to begin with. And so that whatever we can do to, you know, shore up our community support and outreach, the better off that our communities will fare long-term. And that's why I'd like to put a plug for really, I think, the fact that hospices are uniquely positioned since we've been doing, you know, particularly companies like ours that have been doing this for 40 years, that we're particularly you know, positioned to be able to go into the community and provide what they need long term. We have bereavement specialists, you know, on staff, and not every entity, you know, healthcare or mental health entity has that.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Robin, for, informing me and our listeners, of course, on this topic. And hopefully, more organizations do adopt more of these services, which I think, would be a great thing, obviously, especially for this time. So I do thank you again for your time, and hopefully we get to chat again sometime.
I would love that, Brianna. Thank you. Great questions.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. No problem. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.